Still talking about the funny things your pets do. Now we've been hearing all about my golden retriever. Lots of emails coming in. I'll be writing back to you guys as soon as possible. Don't worry. But we've got some calls. Let's go to the phones. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, is Ernie there?
Is Ernie here? What are you talking about?
Yeah, I got a message. He says he's having trouble with his human.
With his human?
Yeah.
Okay, who is this?
Caesar Milan.
Caesar Milan, we have been wanting you on the show for years, and you call for Ernie. I mean...
Just kidding, Jeremy. How you doing, man?
All right, okay, good. Well, you know what? I accept your apology. So, I guess... so you're calling me for dog advice. What do you need to know, Caesar? Oh, no, that's sorry. Other way around, right?
I hope so, yes.
Well, I know... You know what? You've had a pretty busy schedule lately. I don't even know where to start. You were out of the country for quite some time. There's, of course, this special that's coming up on Sunday. Should we start with that? There's a lot of things to ask you, I guess.
Let's do it, man.
Okay, so... Sunday night. It's called Caesar Milan, The Real Story. It's on Nat Geo Wild. What can you tell us about that special?
Well, you know, for a long time, people have been asking me, you know, we would like to know the story, how you came. I mean, people read the story in the books, but I think it was important to show a visual, you know, how I came to America and the ups and downs that I went through. You know, it's not an easy road to what I am and to what have I achieved. And I think, you know, for me, inspiring and motivating people and showing, you know, that how to get up, especially when you are in your lowest moment in life, is important. You know, I show a little bit of what the world sees now. You know, a lot of people don't know I do seminars outside America and the acceptance that people have and the transformation that happens all over the world. To me, the goal is really to help the world to live a certain lifestyle with their dogs, because if we do that, we can, you know, eliminate aggression, anxiety, and really don't have to live with instability with our dogs. A dog can only becomes, you know, whatever you allow him to become, you know, and his goal is harmony. So I want to, you know, promote and maintain that goal in mind as a world, you know, and unfortunately, you know, one of the things that you discover as you go around the world is how many dogs die, you know, outside America. In America, 4 to 5 million die every year. But in the world, or outside, it's 600 million. And that's something that we have to do something about it. You know, we always make sure that the whales are fine and the dolphins are fine. But we're not doing anything about dogs, you know, and that to me is something that we owe to them, since they do so much for us.
Yeah, now, again, you know, this question is sort of aside from the special then, but you mentioned about, you know, dogs dying and things like that. I mean, the laws vary from state to state, where, you know, cruelty is defined one way in one state. I mean, what do you think needs to change then? Should it just be, you know, the same laws across the country? Should they be stricter? I mean, what's your opinion on that?
I think, you know, as we all get involved, also our political leaders need to get involved. I like a quote from Gandhi: the greatness of a nation is moral progress can be measured by the way its animals are treated. I think that we have to adopt that as a country, you know, when we say we are a dog-lover country, but then we turn around and we don't know how many die and how we can prevent that. You know, spay neuter is one of the things that will prevent that from happening, and why it's so important, spay neuter. And you know, at the same time, in different parts of the world, dogs get killed in a different way, or killed, actually. In America, our taxpayer money actually helped for this phenomenon to happen. So in a way, we're all contributing unconsciously to this euthanization. So one way that we can stop them from that and utilize those taxpayer money for education is spay and neuter. It's really, it's like buckle up. It saves lives, and spay and neuter saves lives. So, but we have to do it as a country. Obviously, there is some education needs to be done. A lot of people think or still believe that if you neuter a dog, spay a female, they're not good for anything anymore. And that's actually not the case. You know, all my dogs are spayed or neutered. And all my clients' dogs are spayed or neutered, and they still protect their house. That's one of the biggest things that a lot of people have an issue with.
But do you see that personalities in dogs change, though? Like, I mean, because I, you know, I've got two dogs myself, and I heard that, oh, they're going to be the same. They'll be, you know, more easygoing once they're done. I mean, why do people have that hesitation, though? Is it just because they feel that the dog won't be the same after? Is that usually what you hear from people?
Well, it's the myth. It's, and, you know, and before it was the Dobermans had a certain myth, you know, and so the human love to create myth, but we don't really become educated about it. Daddy, you know, the world loves Daddy, and actually I saved his life when I neutered him. You know, prostate cancer is something that is very dangerous for a male dog. And so we need to educate ourselves to really answer all the myths, you know, and really, okay, I want to see a dog that is neutered, but I want to see that he's not sad. Okay, you should do that. You know what I mean? I understand because, if you're not understanding about, you know, the outcomes or the truth, and then you should have a little bit concern about it. But at the end of the day, you need to do the research, but you will find out, you know, the world will find out that nothing changes in a dog. Actually, you know, since we live in this type of scenario, you know, this modern society with proximities are getting closer and closer, dogs that are not neutered, they don't have as many friends as the dogs that are neutered. So they're not as social, you know what I mean? Because even if they don't want to mate, the dogs who are neutered, they will come to the dog that is not neutered and smell and try to mount them, you know, because he has a scent. Mm-hmm. So then, you know, he's going to go into a defense mechanism and try to fight back. So we need to see it from a social perspective, you know, where how is it my dog will benefit from it. And medically speaking, prostate cancer is number one.
We've got to get back to the music, and Cesar Millan is going to stick around. We will have more with the Dog Whisperer right after this.
Today's best music with Jeremy Bradley.
Jeremy Bradley here, back on the show. We are talking with Cesar Millan, Dog Whisperer, who is our surprise guest. He called in without me knowing. Now, we were talking in the last segment about getting your dogs spayed or neutered, which is very important to the animal population and also their health. So in the special that's airing Sunday night, I mean, we see you going around the world and educating people and helping them become more in tune with their dogs. But I guess the special not only shows about your professional life, it also goes into your personal life quite a bit. So why that decision? Why did you decide to open up in this special?
Well, because it's really what inspires people. Obviously, everybody knows, right? I can, you know, help dogs, but how do I help myself? You know, and that's actually one thing that everybody looks for direction. You know, and how did that guy do it, or how did that person do it? Mm-hmm. I think is we all curious about how can we help ourselves, you know, and one way to help somebody is by telling the story of what you went through. And many times people don't realize, you know, how bad I had it, you know, before. Because everybody sees a TV show, everybody says, well, you know, he's doing good. But not really. not really. I mean, I share my most intimate thing because I believe that it's important for transformation, for motivation, for inspiration. It's a lot of people that are in a situation where, you know, they're depressed and they feel that they have no way out. And I was in that position, you know, and I'm sharing my darkest, weakest moment. And this is the dog whisperer. This is the guy that says calm and assertive. And at one point he was not calm. He was not assertive. You know, mm-hmm. and how did he came back? Yeah. You know, rehabilitation in animals. It's rehabilitation of humans. To me, it's about training human. Right. Mm-hmm. If I train human to realize that we can get out of a certain state of mind, and then we can help each other, and we can help a dog. So to me, it's to inspire people. You know, hopefully what they get out of this is special.
Well, and I think it's really commendable, too. I mean, oftentimes we see when celebrities go through some major life changes, you know, relationship, you know, troubles, what have you, they go into hiding, they, you know, go hush-hush. So, I mean, it's very commendable, then, that you're opening up, especially. And I think the viewers or your fans will respect you a little bit more after that, because you're more relatable, I think, is how it would work. So
That's actually true, right? I mean, one of the things that Oprah always did is she always shared her weaknesses. You know, she always said, you know, how hard it was for her to lose weight, and that inspired me. You know, that made me feel okay. So, you know, she's not this, you know, thing that often TV makes you believe. And so, I can be like her. You know, and it's, to me, it's, you know, a human being that inspires people. And so, you know, I have the blessings to be trusted by people and now that I can share my you know, the ups and downs of my life, and you know, I'm just like everybody else with a different mission. That's it. Mm-hmm.
What is it that you think? You know what? We've got to take a break. All right, we're going to get back to the music. We're going to have more with Cesar Millan and talk about his new special that's airing Sunday night on Nat Geo Wild right after this.
Today's best music with Jeremy Bradley.
Jeremy Bradley here, back on the show, talking with Cesar Millan, our surprise guest, and happy Thanksgiving to all of you today. Talking about the new special that's airing Sunday night on Nat Geo Wild. What do you think viewers will be most surprised about when they watch on Sunday night?
I don't know. Everybody has a different, you know, different journeys. You know, some people are emotional, some people are spiritual, some people are more intellectual, you know. Some people would in this instinctual journey, you know, depends, you know, because everybody, like right now, I'm really reconnecting myself back to my roots, which is something that that I share, you know, how I lost, how I got lost, and just following, you know, other people's journeys or goals. And so that really threw me off, you know. My happiness went away, and I was not doing, you know, even though I was working with dogs, I was not going in the direction that I wanted to go, and nobody knows that, you know. But, you know, now that I can share, and I lost all the money that I created in 9 years, and you know, and so nobody knows that, you know. You think, okay, he's coming assertive, and he's leading, and he's going to do that everywhere. But that was not the case. But I learned my lesson, you know. I learned, and that's you know, I think sometimes by you sharing your bad, you can prevent other, you can help other people to prevent, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, contract wise, that's something that I learned.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
so so many great things, you know, that is going to make people understand, because they just know me as the guy with the dog. They don't really know the other side of me, the father, you know, the not longer husband, how he went through it, and the business aspect of it, and things that we don't show that on the show. That's not part of it.
I was going to ask, what was the hardest detail in the story for you to share, but I guess you sort of touched on those just now. Yeah.
You know, well, obviously the point where I want to commit suicide, and I did try, but you know, God was not ready to let me go. So that obviously that's the worst thing you can do, right? Mm-hmm. And the very, you feel that you fail, and to the failure feeling, you know, and even though I'm in the top of the world, as far as other people might interpret it, I felt that I failed. Mm-hmm. You know, and when you feel a failure, and especially at the intensity that I felt, it's like, what's the point of living? Mm-hmm. And then just, you know, you do to make some decisions. But, you know, that's the part where God comes in and says, you know what, you're not ready. If I wanted you to die, I you know, I can kill in so many different ways. So, mm-hmm. Nope, you don't have that. And so, you know, that's something that's the worst part of it. Obviously, you know, the separation, it was really difficult. I was in England, so I was not expecting it, and my kids became separate. My pack, you know, to me, it's all about the pack, and now my pack is not together anymore. And you know, just the anxiety and the fear and the depression, and you know, again, it goes back to, you know, not feeling good enough. And here's a guy that feels good enough to save your dog.
Yeah.
So it's so contradicting, you know. It's just the opposite of what I normally do for a dog. My life was not, obviously I got really angry at God, because he said, God, you know, I help dogs and you're not helping me, and all these horrible things that people go through. I went through, I'm sorry, you know. But that's a really dark moment of my life.
Mm-hmm. And, well, you said that God wasn't ready to let you go. We're not ready to let you go either. We've got to get back to the music, but if you can stick around, we've got a ton of listener questions that were sent in, so would you mind answering a few of those when we come back?
Sure.
All right, more with Cesar Millan right after this.
Today's best music with Jeremy Bradley.
Chatting with Cesar Millan. Clearly he's a big fan of our shows and my dog parenting. He's been lecturing me about Ernie and Basil during that music set, but I decided to keep him on the show anyway to answer some of your questions, Cesar. Thank you so much for calling in and surprising me today. Now, I guess everywhere you go, it's sort of like a doctor, right? People are hitting you up for advice, right? Can you go anywhere without being stopped and asked questions?
You know, when I get more like a little like nervous about it is when the pilot of a plane, we are on in the air, comes out and says, "I have a question." That really always freaks me out.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, you want the pilot to stay right there, even though it's an automatic thing, but you do want it to stay right there. You never know. And so you're absolutely right. Anywhere in the world, anywhere. I mean, we were in Europe and then we went to Asia. And anywhere in the world, people have questions about their dogs. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Except when I'm with my son, you know, he feels like it's a... I'm a father at that time, and, you know, he feels he needs a time to be respected. But, you know, when you are in, like, in Japan, and people is like, what is he doing here? You know, let me ask him a question about my Akita.
Well, I imagine as long as the pilot's not asking you if you know how to fly the plane, because that might be concerning.
I know, but it's kind of weird, you know, that
well,
he comes
yeah.
out and he asks me questions about a dog.
Yeah. Now, you know what? I said we're going to get to these questions in a second, but I have one for you. Who do you like more, people or dogs?
Well, I do enjoy, you know, wisdom, and a lot of people have a lot of wisdom, and especially the elderly humans. I find a lot of comfort in that. Obviously, the dog is always accepting me, and regardless how I feel, and he's always... His main goal is to help me. And so, you know, they don't live in this selfish world, and not always the humans in that state, but it depends, you know, depends. I do enjoy the wisdom of humans.
Okay, so let's get to these listener questions. Jill in Alva, Oklahoma says, I have two dogs. One is a puppy and the other is three. I was told that the older one would teach and help train the younger one out of natural instinct. Why is it that when we walk, the younger one still pulls and is trying to be in front while the other older dog walks nicely like he always has?
Well, compatibility. You know, when I rescue Junior, I didn't rescue a puppy that was higher level energy than Daddy. I didn't want Daddy to have the stress of too active of a puppy. So what I did is I rescue a medium level energy dog that was just like Daddy. So automatically Junior feel that he needs to be behind Daddy. You know, but when a puppy feels that he has more energy than the older dog, he just goes in front, you know, so there's just compatibility. And so obviously the puppy needs to be run or needs to be exercised before you bring him into the example of follow the older dog.
Okay, so Danny writes, my dog listens to me just fine when we are home by ourselves, but as soon as someone comes over, it's like he doesn't hear me and goes nuts and jumps at that person. Totally doesn't listen to when I say stop, I become invisible. People always say to teach him not to do that. How do I teach him not to do something that he doesn't do to me?
You know, it's two factors that we need to understand. Is number one is how did that person feel before the visitors come, you know, because a lot of times the person feels, oh my God, he's going to jump on people. So that right away your energy is softer, therefore the dog can't really see you as an authority figure. Mm-hmm. You know, the other factor is can the humans who come and visit or can she actually have a sign outside that says no touch, no talk, no eye contact, you know, make sure my dog has come before you actually pet him. So that also make the dog understand that when a human comes through that door, the human is not going to acknowledge if he's excited. So that's a combination of, you know, partnership between the two humans. The dog is just the outcome of it.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard that too, that, yeah, if the dog jumps and then people start to laugh and sort of, then the dog thinks you're playing, right?
Well, the dog feels that you are agreeing with it. You
right.
see what I mean? Because a lot of people find it funny. A lot of people find it cute, and the owner often don't find it cute, so they don't get the support. You know, mm-hmm. It's all about the support of the pack. So a visitor becomes part of that support system.
Another break coming your way. Back to the music here. Cesar Millan answers more of your questions right after this.
Today's best music with Jeremy Bradley.
Cesar Millan, the Dog Whisperer, taking over our show today. But, you know, we've got so many questions. I do appreciate you sticking around, Cesar. Lots of listener questions sent in. Let's get back to them now. Tanya in Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm guessing listening on KWSS in Scottsdale. She writes, there's so many dog experts that tell you that one thing works while others say it doesn't. Is there any rhyme or reason, meaning scientific study, to their advice? Or is it a matter of personal preference of the expert?
Well, the expert job is to really help you understand which one do you feel comfortable with. For example, to me, what I teach is fundamentals, you know, and what she's talking about is techniques. So, for example, a halti versus a brown collar, right? Many people don't like brown collars because they feel they're inhumane. Mm-hmm. Well, there is people who don't like the halti because they feel they restrain the dog mouth. Mm-hmm. So it's not really the tool, it's how, you know, what tool makes you feel calm or in control,
mm-hmm.
right? So our job is to really educate the human and see, look, this is all your options. You have to let me know which one that you feel comfortable, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to teach you how to apply it or how to utilize them. And to more important, what we need to teach people is to understand when the dog is calm. Because a lot of times they want to teach a dog to do certain activity, but the dog is not calm. You know, it's like the door situation, for example. One of the most important activities that people need to learn is at the door. Because it's a threshold. It's a threshold of the outside world and the inside world. But a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people think is sit and stay.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, leave it. You know what I mean? But they don't realize that the energy that they're using is making the dog more anxious or more excited or more tense. So it's not really what you're saying or what you're using, it's the energy behind.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Rhonda writes, I have to move and my new place doesn't allow pets. I'm heartbroken that I've got to give up my dog. What side effects, or I guess maybe emotional changes, would this have on my older dog?
Well, does she have to get the dog away?
I'm guessing she's got to get rid of the dog, so potentially ending that relationship with the pet.
Well, it's definitely a big confusion, you know. There's definitely, without a doubt, especially if they've been living together for 5-6 years, you know, the longer, the more the dog is accustomed to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we need to find is a human that knows how to adjust right away, you know. So the ideal for that dog is to go to a family that is stable with a dog, because that influences a dog right away. You know, so when a person, for example, brings a dog to me, if the dog doesn't go through that experience, because I immediately get to work with that dog, so he doesn't have to suffer the separation and the abandonment feeling that they get, you know, and the confusion that they go through, you know. But it's very important that if the human can find a stable home, because that's going to influence his transition and it's going to make it less painful, you know, and definitely avoid the visiting too soon. You know, because the dog is going to expect to go with a person, you know, so at least give 2 to 3 months before they visit the dog again. You know, at the end of the day is what's best for the dog, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if she can't bring a dog to that environment, and then she have to, in a way, be honest and let him know that, you know, she's never, probably never going to be, you know, live together again. It's a really hard thing, but it can be done. It's possible. It's very emotional, but at the same time, we have to understand the instinctual aspect of the transition, so the dog doesn't suffer as much.
Another question that we've had sent in is when people are grieving. We're talking about emotional issues. You know, when you have the loss of a pet, is it right to get another dog or another pet right away? You know, is it all about how you feel? Is it just a replacement dog then? What are your thoughts on something like that?
Never replacement. You can never replace. I can never replace Daddy.
Right.
I can only honor him.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so when a dog passes away, if you are if you're going to get another dog, it's because you're honoring and you're going to utilize everything that dog taught you. But, you know, one of the things that we shouldn't do is that while we're in pain, we go and rescue the dog. The dog that you're about to rescue doesn't know you're in pain because another dog died. What he knows is you're in a very weak moment, therefore they don't feel protected.
Mm-hmm.
You see it?
Yeah.
What they sense is the human is so sad, is so weak, that if we don't protect the human, we're going to be in trouble. They don't interpret us as you mourning. So going through the experience of the mourning experience, I think, is more healthy. You know, it's you honoring. And never try to, replace, because it's impossible to replace.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can only honor that dog by saving another dog's life.
Yeah, well, you know what, we've got so many other questions, but not enough time. We're out of time, Caesar, but
yes.
I know there's tons of information on your website for pet owners, dog lovers. What's the address for your website?
CaesarsWade.com.
All right, we'll be sure to check it out. So the special is called Caesar Milan, The Real Story. It's Sunday night on Nat Geo Wild, right?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much.
The legendary dog whisperer himself. I will say hi to Ernie. Ladies and gentlemen, Caesar Milan, thanks so much for calling in today, Caesar. Come back anytime.
Thank you.
All right.
Today's best music with Jeremy Bradley.